Welcome back to Cult Gennaro Chat. It's a Sunday edition of the show. We're calling it Cult Gennaro Chat Classic. I'm Jeremy Barron. I'm joined by Robbie Dunn, per usual. Robbie, a pretty good Sunday, wouldn't you say, for Atletico against Betis?
It was, yeah. It was very good. It was probably one of the better performances of the season. And I don't know whether that was because of the way Betis set up and played, or because Atletico just had the right people on the field. But yeah, it was very, thought it was very, very, very convincing. There we are. Hey, we were just talking about having my email open here, and I just got an email there. So yeah, there we go. On a Sunday, who's sending emails on a Sunday?
I know. We need one day off from the Gmail barrage. My goodness.
It was spam, so yeah.
Oh, of course it was.
So
naturally.
Anyway.
But yes, Atletico getting a 3-0 win over Betis on Sunday. Bit of a surprising result, but as you said, definitely convincing. I thought from really the very beginning, after the William Carvalho shot was saved by Oblak, Atletico took control after that. And really maintained it through the entire 90 minutes. That was, I think, their best performance of the season.
Yeah. I was going to say that when we were just doing the intro there, but I wasn't entirely sure if I hadn't thought about it yet, so I didn't want to commit. But yeah, if you're saying it, I believe you.
There you go.
I thought it was really good, and I was struggling to find a better performance. So yeah, it was. I mean, it was excellent. There was no nerves at the back. They worked the ball through the middle and down the left and well. They had some really nice combinations. Yeah, I think everything just clicked today, and Betis had absolutely no answer.
None at all. And that's a Betis team that we talked about this on the show Friday that had been in good form. They were sitting fourth entering kickoff Sunday. They'd won three in a row coming off the back of a 4-1 win over Valencia and looking pretty good. Pellegrini has a big squad with a lot of options. A bit of a surprising 11 from him. No Nabil Fekir in it. Hector Bellerin was not available due to a stomach virus. Borja Iglesias also on the bench. And that might have conditioned Atletico taking control early. I don't think it was Betis's best starting lineup, and Atletico came out with a very strong lineup, conversely, playing in another new formation, Robbie, a 3-4-3 on Sunday.
Yeah, it looked like it's really quite fluid in the end. Like, I mean, when we say like 3-5-2 and that, and we focus on that, I think it kind of sometimes it can take away from the kind of roles on the field and the roles, but also the combinations of players in certain areas of the field. So, for example, Rodrigo de Paul and Koke was a nice balancing act in the middle, which was similar to Thursday night. And it was similar to Herrera and Koke, but Rodrigo de Paul, I thought, was far more disciplined. Now, granted, there wasn't as many questions asked of him, but it felt like it was far more balanced, and it was far more solid than what we saw against Levante. And I think when you said there earlier about Borja Iglesias, William Carvalho's shot, there was a couple of times in that first couple of minutes where it felt like they're going to get at Carrasco. And when Carrasco is pinned back like that and being forced to defend, that's when Atletico tend to struggle. And they eventually kind of fixed that. And he started kind of getting out a bit more. And he just defined that whole first half. He was absolutely excellent. And I think more so the formation, I'd be focusing on the kind of what they were being asked to do in their positions and how well they executed.
Yeah, and usually the combination or the associative play is like the literal Spanish translation, and I love that. The associative play is usually a lot better when Carrasco and Correa are both on the pitch, because Correa especially got the start today, his first start in over a month in La Liga. And he's really good in tight spaces. He's got a really low center of gravity. He turns on the ball really smoothly, and he set up the opening goal for Carrasco. And really, Carrasco just had a dominant game, I thought, Rob. He completed 8 dribbles, a goal, and an assist, and the opening goal was a golazo, as it is said in Spain. A rocket off his left boot in a mismatch with Martin Montoya.
Yeah, amazing goal, wasn't it? He just looked inspired, didn't he?
Yeah, definitely.
He often does look like that, and you're looking at him going, this guy's got it all. His close control, he's kind of got that agility and swing of the hips that Lemar has, maybe slightly more rigid than Lemar, but he's got that little kind of a shimmy to lose a player, to lose a defender, and he showed it off on today, or in the first half especially. He was incredible. And on Correa, I think it's like, I don't know, like, I mean, you're waiting for Lemar to come back, you're waiting for Llorente to get fit, and you've obviously got Joao Felix. Like, and we've talked about this before, and we probably won't get into it today because it's not an issue, and it's not a trend that's come out of the game. But I just wonder, like, Angel Correa was dropped because Griezmann was bought. But I think he has to, maybe not has to start, but he deserves more consideration, I think. It was just kind of assumed, and I assumed, and I think he is probably the weakest link in some ways. But it just seems for this Atletico team, maybe he is the answer there. But the problem, I guess, is that when he has a bad day, he's a really, he can just stink the place out of it, like, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, when this has been a kind of a bug through Correa's career, is that when he's playing well, he's playing really well, and when he's not, it's really tough going for him. He started to develop that consistency or improve and get more consistent a year and a half, 2 years ago, and it was unfortunate that Griezmann comes back and Correa kind of has to drop to the bench. This was his first start in any game in La Liga or the Champions League in a month. But he made the most of it, and if he continues to make the most of his opportunities, it's just going to – and he can force his way back into Simeone's plans. This was a good opportunity for him against Betis before they go to Liverpool on Wednesday, and I think he made the most of it. 4 key passes for him, misplaced only one of his 27 passes, and the assist on the opening goal. But he really thrives in this kind of game. It's more open. He's got great close control. He's very good in these kind of tight windows of play. I thought he played really well. And, you know, if it gives Simeone a bigger headache, then I think that's something the coach will accept. It's like, how do I manage to get 3-4 attackers on the pitch at once?
Yeah, and I think the only thing is, and this is kind of take away from it, it's a little bit unfair because you can only kind of play against who you're playing against, but it was relatively easy out there today for Atletico. I felt like Real Betis, they were neither sitting back, and I can't understand leaving Nabil Fekir out. There must have been something wrong with him.
Yeah.
But leaving him out, and so they kind of went a little bit more maybe defensive. Although they would have, that's what they were. I think they were trying to go for, but it absolutely didn't work. And so they were kind of neater, and the game was wide open. So, like, I understand that that Correa was good and he played well, but at the same time, the only knock is that it was Betis, and Betis, I think if Pellegrini had that one back, I think he'd probably line up differently, because it just felt quite easy for Atletico all afternoon.
Yeah, the plan wasn't particularly clear for Betis, and they have a pretty clear attacking philosophy most games, or a possession-based philosophy, but Carvalho and Guardado were kind of dropping deeper when Atletico were in possession, dropping close to that defensive line. So it was, I guess, in a sense, more of a defensive setup, but that's not Betis's strength. Their strength is on the ball. Their strength is when the game is a lot more open, and they tried to shut it down a bit in that first half, and Atletico took the lead anyway.
Yeah, and I think when with Guardado and William Carvalho there, that's obviously more defensive. And what they think they were trying to do was get Rodri out wide against Carrasco and make him defend. But Carrasco was just so good against Montoya. He had his number, and Rodri wasn't really tracking back. So that just kind of negated anything Pellegrini was trying to do. And I think if Pellegrini, like, obviously we won't know, but like Nabil Fekir sitting as the number 10, kind of making Koke work, because neither Rodrigo de Paul or Koke are particularly defensive midfielders. They're not that's not their trademark role. Like, it's not like there's a Kondogbia there to keep an eye on them. So that would, if they had had Fekir there, it would have made Koke work a little bit harder, and it would have also made it would have made Jimenez maybe step out a little bit or something like that, and it would have asked a lot more questions of that back three. It would have asked a lot more questions of Koke and but Atletico just kind of, there was a couple of times where they just walked through them in the middle, and it was lovely associative play, as you said, but it did feel like it was a little bit too easy for Atletico at times. But having said that, it was just what the doctor ordered, because Atletico had been struggling massively, and as we've talked about on the pod time and again, a 3-0 victory didn't flatter Atletico, and I think that's exactly what they needed. Like, when it was 1-0 and Betis were kind of coming back into it, and kind of like, I was like, oh, Atletico might concede here just against the run of play. But then obviously they got the second through an own goal after a couple of chances, and then the third from Felix, which was a big goal for him. Yeah. And I just think that it settles a lot of nerves. It solves a lot of kind of doubts that might have been kind of starting to creep into Atletico's heads,
especially entering a huge game at Anfield on Wednesday. The Carvalho shot early on was Betis's only attempt on target for the entire game. Robbie, to what can you credit Atletico's defensive improvement in this game? Is it just a simple matter of Stefan Savage coming back into the 11?
I think so. I think that they didn't look as nervous. But having said that, they weren't. Again, there wasn't as many questions asked of them. But I think Rodrigo de Paul helped as well. He just has a. He's like a man. He just takes control. And I know he's only new, and he's only 3 months at the club. And it's kind of ridiculous to say this with the likes of Koke there for so long, and people like Griezmann and Suarez. But this is, when Rodrigo de Paul is on the field, this is his team. And that is astonishing to me, that he can step into a team like that, coming from a club that didn't do particularly well in Serie A. Like, it wasn't like a... It was a marquee signing in the sense that Simeone really wanted him, but he wasn't like a world-class player coming to Atletico, as in he had played with Valencia before and went to Italy and then came back. But he has just, almost every single game that he has been on the field, he exerts an influence that I think goes beyond any kind of metrics or anything like that. And I just think that he knits things together. He gives Atletico a bit of drive. He's solid. He's strong. He's got it all. Like, and he's actually a joy to watch. But yeah, I think in some ways this is Rodrigo de Paul's team when he's on the field.
He's a player with tremendous character and personality, and for everything that he offers, like, he's really got just about the whole package as a midfielder. Atletico got him for a relative bargain, right? 35 million euros from Udinese. And he's a guy who, his adaptation period did not take very long at all. You could probably argue now that he's fully adapted. He does everything. He passes accurately at really just about any distance. He creates chances, breaks lines. He draws a bunch of fouls. He's got, like, 3 lungs instead of the normal 2 that most humans have.
That's it.
He's physically immense, and he can do a bit of everything out there.
Yeah, and I thought you were going to say, you said he's got a tremendous, what did you say? You said he's got a tremendous ability. I thought you were going to say he's got a tremendous capacity. It feels like he has a tremendous capacity to do loads and loads of work. And, yeah. And he just looks mean. He's no nonsense. He looks the part. I remember Luis Enrique saying about Pau Torres. He was like, he's got it all. He's fast. He can play with the ball. He can pass. He's tall. He's handsome. I'm gonna say that about Rodrigo de Paul. He's fast. He's strong. He's handsome. He's everything. He's got it all, Jeremy. He's the perfect man.
The perfect midfielder, perfect man, even.
He's the perfect man, yeah.
A tall, handsome stranger who can break up play and create chances.
Exactly, yeah. I do think this is him back in the side. He just kind of changes things and makes Atletico tick a little bit, just a little bit smoother.
Yeah, I thought he had another great game, his second one this week. And DePaul and Lemar together, when Lemar comes back, hopefully that will be this week, but when Lemar comes back, those are two guys who, when they're together, Atletico should not have any issues progressing the ball into the final third. Because you watch DePaul play, and you notice when he's on the ball, it goes forward. The ball just gets into the final third. It's always a positive, progressive delivery.
Mm. It feels like there's like a momentum behind him, like carrying him forward. Like,
yeah.
It's like, you know, and I think it will be interesting to see who drops out. But I'm not gonna talk about Luis Suarez. but I think he's back me up here. Is he not the odd man out here? No.
With Suarez, as we've said, it's difficult because there's always the looming threat that he can get a goal at any minute. Yeah. But the fact that you don't know when it's going to come or if it's going to come at all, the past couple games it hasn't. Today was another one of those games for Suarez where it looked like he could score. He was going to score, but it didn't happen because of the physical limitations, and his first touch has just basically left him if it's outside the 18-yard box. Yeah, and Atletico the style is more fluid, honestly, at times when Suarez isn't out there. It's a problem for Simeone, potentially, because Suarez needs time. He needs to establish a rhythm and a flow in the game, but how long can Atletico afford to wait when you have Griezmann continuing to improve? You have Correa assisting a goal today. You have Joao Felix chomping at the bit off the bench and getting his first goal at the end of the game. Cunha scored on Thursday against Levante. Right now, yeah, I think that argument has some legs to it, that Suarez, of the five forwards Atletico are carrying in the squad, Suarez is the one who has the most goals but is in the worst form right now.
Yeah, and obviously he offers something very, very different to anyone else on the team, almost anyone else in world football, but he needs to be producing, and this is the problem, because if he doesn't play, he's not fit. If he doesn't play, he's not happy. But then if he plays, he could have these stinkers, and then like, it's fine when Atletico get away with it, because but I'm just looking at his heat map here, and it's pitiful. Like, it's kind of nowhere near the box, and yeah, it's just a
He tried an outside the boot cross to Koke in the first half, and I nearly screamed. Like, don't ever try that again.
Yeah, I saw that one. Yeah.
Oh man.
Well, Koke looked like an old man in that play. He was like going forward, but Koke is a strange one, like, because obviously he's a legend and a Atletico, and he's a spiritual leader of the team in ways, and but like. There's just a kind of a selflessness to him that is actually bordering on lack of confidence or lack of belief in himself. Like, there was a chance in the first half where he chested it down to nobody.
Right. Yep.
Just spin and shoot, like, or just hit it first time, or hit it, just let it touch off you and point it towards goals. Like, what? Like, you know, and it's kind of, I get the self sacrifice and the kind of lack of the selflessness and all, but that. It actually starts to kind of, it rubs up against a lack of belief in himself. And I think that you get to the point then when it's like, I guess it's good as well that he knows his own limitations and he'd prefer Suarez to get a goal than him because it doesn't really matter to him. It's not his game. But I think yeah, he probably needed to shoot on that occasion. And there was another one. Well, no, the second one. The one in the second half was Suarez shot and Koke was inside him. And I was just looking at the replay, like, and Koke, if that's any other player, like Griezmann or anyone, like, they'd say to Suarez, like, pass it through to me. Now, having said that, it was the right option to shoot, but mm-hmm. I was just looking at Koke and he was like, he didn't even think he wanted it. He didn't even want it, like, you know. But anyway, yeah, that's kind of a tangent there about that's something we're not even talking about, but anyway.
But I just wonder what this season's going to look like for Koke, because he had a long summer making it to the semifinals of the Euros with Spain and didn't have much rest, barely. I don't think he played at all in the preseason, if I can recall. He may have played part of one game. But yeah, I just wonder if it's going to be kind of an off season or a down year for Koke, and how lethal that could be for Atletico if his form doesn't improve in the coming weeks and the coming months. Because we talk about Koke a lot and not noticing him when he's on the pitch, but we definitely notice him when he's not there. We definitely notice when he is not being the selfless leader that he has become in recent seasons, as he was named the captain a couple years ago. But I just wonder where Koke is physically, like what his physical level is at, because he's not in particularly great form. He did have that opportunity in the first half that he could have chested it down and then fired it into goal himself, but just couldn't quite get on top of the ball. So I wonder where he is from a physical standpoint and if and when he will improve. But then again, Atletico have so many options now. When healthy in midfield, you have Depaul, Llorente, Lemar, Kondogbia as well to offer more cover. Does that reduce Koke's potential importance to the team, even if he's not operating at his best?
Yeah, well, that's a funny one. Like, I mean, he's the kind of player who probably isn't going to age well, and we kind of have to accept that. He's 30 now, I believe, and
he's played a lot of minutes.
He's played a lot of minutes. He's been playing. He's 29. He's 30 in January. He's played a lot of minutes for a team, and not just a lot of minutes. Like a lot of minutes, like Sergio Busquets. He played a lot of minutes for early era Diego Simeone. He was chasing the ball. He was shuttling. He played in that central midfield / left midfield role, and he put a lot of miles on the clock and was never the most physically gifted player anyway. And it's funny though, because Luis Enrique uses him and he looks not like, he doesn't look any more like a lot more athletically talented than he does with Simeone, but he does look more, a little bit more mobile, and he does look a little bit more kind of active, I think, in whatever it's behind Busquets. See, this is the problem, I think. It's that old-school Atletico play Rodri, play Thomas Partey, play Gabi, or play whoever as a defensive midfielder. And Koke plays just in front of him, exactly like Luis Enrique does. That's his position. The problem now is Simeone is trying to fit... he's trying to get by without that defensive midfielder because he's got so much attacking talent. So Koke is being asked to play a Busquets role or a Rodri's role, and that's just not him.
Right.
And this is the issue. So I wouldn't worry about his form in that sense. It's just what he's being asked to do currently, and I think that. I think essentially or effectively in the end, well, I think it's kind of a moot point because Simeone's not going to drop him. Simeone would probably rather drop Joe Felix. He would rather drop Lamar. He'd rather drop someone else. He's not dropping Koke. Which is nice. I mean, he's loyal. If the boat was going down, it'd be Koke and Simeone left on it, and Simeone would just be like, I'm not, not letting go. Like, which is nice. I mean, and he is like, I mean, I think he is loyal to Coke in that sense. And so I don't think it really matters. He's not going to be dropped, but I just think he could probably do him some more favors by playing Rodrigo De Paul beside him, by playing Marcos Llorente beside him to pick up some of the slack and kind of even just giving him a half the pitch to worry about. Because when Koke is beside Herrera, for example, Herrera is a little bit too kind of liberal with his going forward and likes to be on the ball and that. And probably Rodrigo De Paul sits in a little bit more and is able to get up and down more easily and he can sense danger, so that helps Koke. So yeah, I think that's probably what we'll see going forward. Where are you going to Paul Koke? But then of course you've got Marcos Llorente to come in, and that's another puzzle to be solved.
And Lemar too, and Kondogbia, who's really the only natural defensive midfielder in the squad. Yeah, that's why the Koke Herrera pairing didn't really work at Levante, because Herrera is more of an offensive pivot. Herrera likes to dictate pace and have time and space in possession, and that doesn't really help Koke. To free up Koke, you need someone who works really hard and can track back and make recoveries. De Paul, Llorente, Kondogbia, those guys are more natural partners for Koke. But it's an interesting one, and we'll see, because Atletico have been playing a few different ways so far this season and trying to get results on the board. So it'd be a situation that will certainly evolve in the next few months, as there's still so much of the season to go. In the second half on Sunday, we talked about it a little bit. Betis did come out of the dressing room improved, although not really challenging Oblak, getting a bit closer, but still not able to crack the score sheet. Atletico doubled the lead just after the hour when Herman Pedzeja, a bullet header, Robbie, just into the wrong net.
Yeah, and Atletico actually had a number of opportunities from set pieces and stuff before that.
Yeah, bunch of corners.
They looked dangerous. Yeah, there was a load of Suarez had a free header. Hermoso scored. Jimenez had went really close. I think Betis have an issue there from set pieces from crosses coming in, and I think that Atletico really took advantage of them in that sense. And I think with Betis improving in the second half, I mean, at the end of the day, this Betis team isn't a bad side in any way. Like, I think Pellegrini probably got his tactics wrong. They're probably not the best team to play against the Diego Simeone side, even when this particular Diego Simeone side has been leaking goals. I think they're the kind of team to play a style that suits Atletico. And I think without Fekir, it made them even less
threatening, really, less dangerous.
Less threatening than without him. And I think that when we saw Betis kind of improving a little bit, I think that was just a natural, right, lads, come on, we'll have to do something here. And I also think it was just a little bit of the residue of doubt there from Atletico from the past few games. They were kind of like we need to settle down here, like, you know. And obviously if Betis get the goal at that point, I mean, they didn't really have too many chances. They had a couple of kind of bits of chances, but nothing really. But if Betis get that goal, then the whole thing changed, you know. And I think Atletico knew that, and until they kind of got the second, they were probably doubting themselves, and not doubting themselves, but just kind of that tiny doubt sitting at the back of the head. But they saw it out and ended up kind of winning comfortably in the end with Joe's third goal, which is excellent, by the way.
Yeah, he arrowed that goal in with the left foot. His first goal in 8 months, believe it or not. And yeah, it was, I thought it was a smart decision to leave him on the bench. Levante really took it out of him on Thursday because they fouled him so much. And you do have the Champions League on Wednesday, which we'll get to in a minute or two here. But Felix comes on for the final 20 minutes, gets the goal 10 minutes from time, initially chalked out for offside. I thought it was offside, actually, at first.
I can't actually remember if I saw a replay. I think I did, but I saw a weird angle of it. But he took it really, really nice. I thought he just finished it so well.
Yeah, he did.
I think he's just, I think everything about him right now is just kind of... And he said it about 3 weeks ago. He said, I need a goal. He played really well, and he I think it was against Milan, I think it was. And he said, I'm playing well, and I'm doing well. But he said, I just need the goal. He said, I need to get a goal and kind of solidify this and kind of set it in stone that I'm back. So,
and we'll see if he can take off from here. Since that red card against Athletic, so that was half a dozen games ago, a goal and two assists and some very good performances across that half dozen game batch. And we'll see if the end product now follows. It's hard to say because he's still so young. He only turns 22 next month in about 10 days. So he's still such a young player with so much time ahead of him. But it's difficult to say whether the player he's going to be is one that doesn't register a lot of goals or assists. He doesn't have them so far this year, but that doesn't mean that he can't get there. After all, he did say during the last international break that he can be on the level of Erling Haaland and Kylian Mbappe.
I think he can, and I think it's been actually forgotten that, Atletico Madrid have and I know that the market is whatever the market is, but at the same time, Atletico have a 100 million euro youngster in their team, and we've kind of forgotten about that in the sense that his form hasn't been good, and we were kind of thinking maybe we don't know what's going on with him. But if they can get 70 or 80% of the Joe Felix that we thought he was going to be before he came to Atletico, the Joe Felix that Atletico Madrid signed, we've got a player, even if he's just a level slightly below Mbappe, we've still got an absolute baller. Like, Atletico Madrid have an absolute baller on their hands. And I think that given the talent in the squad around him, he can, and with the opponents won't be able to kind of zone in on him. He could be set for a proper breakout year here.
I agree, absolutely. With the ankle problems, hopefully, yeah. Fingers crossed behind him. We've seen this for almost three full seasons now, two and a half seasons now, nearly. That he is a really gifted player. He's really talented. The questions have been application and fitness, and the fit with Simeone and his health itself. He had COVID last year. He had the ankle problems again, but now he's overcome that. And he, even in kind of adverse weather conditions today with how rainy it was in Madrid, just a great finish on grass and a playing surface that probably wasn't really optimal for him. And a really good cameo for him. He gets that goal, and we'll see if he can kick on from there. What did you make of Griezmann's performance?
I think he's getting back to his, and he's another player that's going to benefit from the talent around him, the understated talent around him, Rodrigo and as I said, Joe Felix and Carrasco. I think he looks like he is getting back to where he's just, we spoke about it a couple of weeks ago, but he just kind of looks like he's getting back to the point where he's enjoying himself. He looked really self-conscious for the majority of his time at Barcelona. Even when he was kind of going well, there was a kind of a something about him that was just holding him back. Whereas now, I think he's home, and he considers Atletico Madrid his home. I think you can see that in his play. I think he's moving more freely. I think he's enjoying himself, and he's kind of got his belief back. And I think that another player who's only 30 and just could still has the ability to be a top, I don't know, 10, 15 player in the world, mm-hmm. on his day, and with the talent around him, if Atletico can kind of get it out of him, which I think it looks like they're starting to do, they've got another absolute baller on their hands, and I thought he was good again today.
This was forgotten during his time at Barcelona because of the the circumstances surrounding his transfer and the club crumbling around him at really as he was playing, the institution was just crumbling. But Griezmann was and is an elite player. Entering his 30s, he's still a top drawer forward. And I think Simeone has started to discover that he can't really play Griezmann behind the two strikers. He's more and more turning toward a line of three. And I think that's helping Griezmann as well. It's getting him more involved in the play. He can drop deeper without really running into anyone. This was a problem during Griezmann's first games. He was running into Marco Llorente's space, and that was just destroying Atletico's attack. When Llorente comes back, we'll see how Simeone aligns it. But for now, playing Griezmann in this line of three, the combination play is better. He created four chances on Sunday, two shots on target as well. It looks like he's getting back to his best. He got a goal against Levante, and we'll see if his end product follows as well. Just a lot of options for Atletico, and they had the defensive solidity to back it up today, and overall a good win. And now they're in the top four, just 2 points off top spot in La Liga.
Yeah, like I said on the pod during the week, this season is setting itself up to allow Atletico find themselves, and I think that's bad news for the likes of Real Sociedad, Real Madrid, anyone that's kind of thinking about challenging for this, because the fact that none of them are pulling away and making Atletico pay for the draws against Villarreal, against Levante, against Real Sociedad. And I think that once Atletico do find themselves, they've got the best team and the best squad in La Liga.
Yeah, it is definitely, if not the best, I don't think there are more than one or two that are better. And yeah, we did talk about this on the Friday pod, that with so many teams dropping points and no one really looking convincing this year more than really any other in recent memory, you can afford to drop points in what's looking like an 80-85 max league. And Atletico still have that game in hand, which could come in handy, no pun intended, that game in hand against Granada, which will be made up at some point this season. Granada have not been playing well, but that's in the possibly far future. For now, this was much needed for Atletico. This result, this margin of victory, the way they played, the sensaciones around this are good. But Wednesday brings a new prospect in the Champions League, Robbie, and that's where we're turning our attention now. Savic and Griezmann won't be playing in that game. Both players suspended. We'll see how many options are available in midfield when Atletico travel to Anfield to play Liverpool. Liverpool, a 2-2 draw against Brighton on Saturday, and still unbeaten in the Premier League, top of the Champions League group. How do you see this one going? Can Atletico pull off another Anfield miracle?
Possibly, yeah. I think it'll tell us a lot as to what Simeone is thinking in terms of Felipe and what he does, because possibly he could go back to a back four, which given how dangerous Salah is, he might just kind of try to play maybe Mario Hermoso. That wouldn't make sense then, but yeah, if he plays Mario Hermoso as a left back and tries to get control of Salah there on Liverpool's right, with Savage out, I'm not sure, but it will also pave the way with Griezmann out for Felix to start, obviously, and then it'll be interesting. I think Liverpool are probably most informed team in Europe right now, so this is a huge test for Atletico, and it could go either way.
Some kind of result here is needed. Atletico losing this game in Anfield, obviously pending the result of Porto and Milan, but if Porto beat Milan and Atletico lose at Anfield, Atleti would be in third, 3 points behind Porto with just two games to play. Still a head-to-head meeting with Porto, but a loss plus a Porto win would make things very complicated for Atletico in terms of qualifying.
Yeah, definitely. It's huge for them. Even just kind of, as you said, the sensaciones and just how they like a result here would be absolutely huge for Atletico. given the fact that how they just lost to Liverpool but yeah, a tough task and yeah, there'd be that little bit of needle there because of the Simeone Klopp thing and all that comes with that. So let's see what transpires.
Yeah, it is a massive game, and we know Liverpool because Atletico just saw them a couple weeks ago and a couple years ago. We know generally how they're going to play, the form that Mo Salah is in right now. Another assist for him over the weekend against Brighton, which Liverpool did have a 2-0 lead, but Brighton rallied to get the draw in the end at Anfield, an impressive result for Brighton. This is going to be a tough one. But this was a big game today on Sunday. A lot of pressure was on Atletico to get a result today and avoid Madrid, Sevilla, etc. from pulling away. They did that. I'm not going to hazard a prediction here because, well, we know how well those go. But, I don't know. This is a tough one. Atletico need to get something out of this. They need to get a draw.
Yeah, 1-1 out of goal.
1-1, that's bold.
Come on, Jeremy, be brave. Yeah.
Okay, well, if you're going to be bold, then I guess I have to as well. Oof.
4-0.
That's just irresponsible.
Whoa. that's just downright dangerous.
I'll say 2-1 Atletico. Why not?
Oh, yeah, let's see. Try to remember these two so we can come back on Wednesday and discuss them.
Come back on Wednesday, and hopefully we're not discussing just a mauling.
Yeah, exactly.
If we're not
it
just...
could be, but let's see.
Yeah, it will be a very, obviously, very tricky one with guys like Savage, Griezmann unavailable, unknown what alignment Cholo will use. Oof, tough one on Wednesday. But we will be back to talk about it then. Robbie, thank you so much for coming on this edition of Colchonero Chat.
Absolutely no problem, Jeremy, and I'll chat to you soon.
We will chat again Wednesday, my friend. Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for your continued support. Keep it on Into the Calderon. Also, patreon.com/Colchonero Chat for bonus audio goodies on the defending Spanish champions. We'll talk to you all again next week. Adios.